Side of Sports, right here on the Voice of.
Stand up! Stand up! Stand up! Stand up!
Friends, we can all listen to the Sunny Side of Sports.
Great show, bro. This is Sunny Side of Sports.
Right here on the Voice of America.
Voice of America!
Sporty greetings to all our Voice of America listeners. This is VOA's Sunny Young in Washington. Welcome to the February 21st edition of the Sunny Side of Sports. It was another big weekend of action in the major European club football leagues, and some of Africa's biggest stars certainly made a big impact on the results. Gabonese striker Pierre-Emerick Aubameyang scored his first hat trick for Barcelona, and Senegal's Sadio Mane and Egypt's Mo Salah, who played against each other in the Africa Cup of Nations final February 6th, each scored for Liverpool. Joining us now with the highlights is Prince Nesta. Sporty greetings, Prince.
Sporty greetings to you too, Sonny. Second half goals from English striker of Nigerian descent Bukayo Saka and English winger Emil Smith-Rowe helped Arsenal secure a 2-1 win over Brentford in the Premier League in a match that was played at the Emirates Stadium. Christian Nugent secured a late consolation for Brentford in stoppage time, but it wasn't enough, as the Gunners picked up the three crucial points to remain firmly in the hunt for Champions League qualification. Arsenal boss Mikel Arteta shared his thoughts on the performance.
I think we played really well. Really proud of the team, the way we play, the way we attack them, the way we restrict their threats, which they have, the fluidity, the purpose, the numbers that we're putting and how we control the game. I was really impressed, especially in the first half. After scoring in the second half, we had a period there. After they scored the second one, we should kill the game. But at the end, the last 10 seconds, you can see the goal, and it's always nervy, but obviously it was no more time to play.
That's Arsenal manager Mikel Arteta reacting to his side win against Brentford. Victory moves Arsenal level on points with 5th place West Ham and a 1-1 draw against Newcastle United. Swedish wing of Cameroonian descent Anthony Elanga, Brazilian midfielder Fred, Harry Maguire and Bruno Fernandes all registered their names on the score sheet to ensure Manchester United secured a 4-2 comeback victory against Leeds United at a rain-soaked Ellen Road. Manchester United manager Ralf Rangnick reacted to his side win.
Very good first half. After the first 15 minutes, we really had control on the game. Could have been 3-4-0 up. And within 2 minutes, it was a completely different situation and atmosphere in the stadium. I think the first goal was a little bit lucky for them. I don't think that he intended to shoot the ball like he did. But again, after 2 minutes, it was all of a sudden 2-2. And then the 5 minutes after that was really very intense, very difficult for us. And I think the team showed maturity. I think we've grown together as a team. I'm not so sure if this would have happened, I don't know, 2 or 3 months ago. But it happened today and it was important. I think we showed a reaction in the last 20 minutes and in the end we deserved to win.
This Manchester United manager Ralf Rangnick reacting to his side's epic victory against Leeds United. The Red Devils will take on Atletico Madrid in the Champions League round of 16 tie. Leeds United will next head to Anfield to face Liverpool, who came from behind to beat Norwich City 3-1. Thanks to goals from Senegalese speedster Sadio Mane, Egyptian talisman Mo Salah and Luis Diaz. Liverpool boss Jurgen Klopp shared his thoughts on the match.
Norwich played a proper game, proper football, defended deep together, had their counter-attack, so it made it really tricky for us. We could have scored, obviously, in the early stages of the game already, or maybe should have scored twice. Don't know exactly how we missed these two chances. So we had the moments, and then the game can look completely different, but how it is when you don't use your own chances. Then a deflected ball can be pretty decisive, and that's what happened today, but these boys just don't give up.
That's Liverpool coach Jurgen Klopp speaking after his side came from behind to beat Norwich in the Premier League. Tottenham also secured a stunning 3-2 win over champions Manchester City thanks to a Harry Kane double in Dejan Kulusevski's first ever goal for Spurs in a match that was played at the Etihad Stadium. Ilkay Gundogan and Algerian playmaker Riyad Mahrez scored Manchester City's consolation goals. The Citizens' boss Pep Guardiola reacted to his side's loss to Spurs.
I think we play well. We create a lot of chances. We were there, so I can't say anything wrong about the team because we were there all the time. But it's difficult when they are physical and defend so deep. Always is complicated.
Spurs boss Antonio Conte hit praise on his team.
It was an emotional game, no? For sure. It was an exciting game. We played a good game. We followed a plan, and we had to be good and tactically in a defensive way. But at the same time, when we were defending, the first thought was the way to attack. And I think that we did this and. We create the chances to score other goals against a fantastic team, a wonderful team.
That's Tottenham manager Antonio Conte following his side's Premier League win at Manchester City. Moving on to the French Premier League, Paris Saint-Germain fell to their second defeat of the French League season as Mauricio Pochettino's side succumbed to a 3-1 defeat against Nantes. Goals from French forward of Congolese descent Randall Kolo Muani, Quentin Merlin and a Ludovic Blas penalty handed the Yellow House an incredible 3-0 halftime lead before Brazilian superstar Neymar pulled a goal back for the Parisians. PSG currently lead the French standings, followed by second-place Marseille, who suffered a 2-0 defeat against Clermont. French forward of Guinean descent Mohamed Bayo opened the score at the 13th minute, before Gabon midfielder Jim Alevina netted the winner in the 84th minute. Bordeaux also secured a 1-1 draw against Monaco, while Zimbabwe international Tino Kadewere scored his first French League goal of the season for Olympique Lyon, helping them to secure a 1-1 draw away at Lens. And moving on to La Liga, Gabon talisman Pierre-Emerick Aubameyang scored a hat-trick as Barcelona extended their unbeaten run to 9 matches with a 4-1 victory at Valencia. Frankie de Jong also scored for Barca, while Carlos Soler scored a consolation goal for the Bats. The win lifted Barcelona into fourth place on 42 points from 24 games. Real Madrid still topped the standings with 57 points after earning a 3-1 win against Alaves, thanks to a French striker of Algerian descent Karim Benzema, Marco Asensio and Vinicius Junior's second-half goals. In other fixtures, Luis Suarez netted a wonder goal to help Atletico Madrid secure a 3-0 win against Osasuna. Joao Felix and Angel Correa were also on target to help Atletico secure a fourth spot with 42 points. Reporting for the Sunny Side of Sports, I'm Prince Nestor.
Thanks, Prince. Now let's go to Yaoundé, where the families of 8 people who died in last month's football stampede at Olembe Stadium say they are burying their dead without assistance from Cameroon's government or the Confederation of African Football. The stampede, which also injured 38, occurred ahead of an Africa Cup of Nations match between Cameroon and Comoros. Moki Edwin Kinzika reports from Yaoundé.
A choral group of the Roman Catholic Church sings on Friday at a viewing ceremony at Mbamayo, a commercial town about 50 kilometers to the south of Cameroon's capital, Yaoundé. Several hundred people, including teachers, students, and merchants, have come out to pay their last respects to Veronique Dorothy Gillo. Gillo, a teacher, was one of those killed as crowds struggled to get into the stadium to watch the Cameroon national team play against Comoros Island in January. Among the mourners is Etienne Modji, Gillo's older brother. Modji says it was not easy for him to buy a casket and transport his sister's corpse to Banjoun, a western commercial town where Gillo was born. He says he has not been able to buy enough food for the hundreds of people coming to pay their last respect to Jilu. Mochi says he has not seen the money. Cameroon State Radio said Cameroon's Indomitable Lions football team contributed for the injured and families of those killed in the Olembe Stadium crush. Mochi says his relatives and well-wishers donated money to help his family prepare for his sister's burial. Veronique Jilu was a person living with disabilities. She had no lower limbs and was teaching in Bamayo. Emanuela Chochom is executive president of the non-governmental organization Inclusive Society for Persons Living with Disabilities. Chochom says at least 60 people with disabilities traveled to Bamayo ready to accompany Jilu's body to Banjun for burial. Chochom says the government did not transport her body and people with disabilities to Banjun as her association had requested. Chochom said only 12 of the 60 people who wanted to make the trip could afford the fares to and from Banjun, where Jilu was buried Saturday. Three other crush victims have been buried in Yaoundé. Their families also say they did not receive any assistance from the government or the Confederation of African Football, CAF, which organized of the tournament. CAF Secretary General Patrice Motsepe visited the injured victims in the hospital on January 25 and said it was the duty of host nations to take care of the security and safety of football players, fans and match officials. Motsepe said it is the host country that takes care of injured persons and families of the bereaved. Cameroon's team said it donated $85,000 to injured victims of the stampede and family members of those who died. The injured victims and family members of the dead said they do not know where the money is. Sports and Physical Education Minister Narcisse Malekombi would not comment when asked about the promised assistance to crush victims. He said though the injured were treated free of charge as instructed by Cameroonian President Paul Biya, Cameroon Football Federation officials did not answer reporters' questions on the whereabouts of the money the Indomitable Lions said they donated. Moki Edwin Kinzeka for VOA News, Yaoundé, Cameroon.
Thanks, Moki. From Yaoundé, let's go to Birmingham, England, where the Muller Indoor Athletics meeting took place over the weekend. The energetic Andy Edwards was trackside in Birmingham, and he witnessed impressive performances, including an African contender for gold in the middle distances. Sporty greetings, Andy.
Sporty greetings, Sonny. The athletics riches on view were spread equally between track and field. In the latter, none shone brighter than the Olympic champion and world record holder in the pole vault, Mondo Duplantis. The Swede, based for much of the year in the USA, broke the stadium record with 6.05 meters and then had three tilts at his own world indoor record, 6.19 meters. He was so close on his final attempt, the bar wobbling tantalizingly before coming down. It is not a rash prediction to believe that Duplantis will break his own world record sometime soon.
I don't know. I feel like it differs depending on the day and kind of where my head's at. Because sometimes, you know, you want to save your legs and your body as much as you can for those higher heights. And you want to feel perfect when the bar's at the, you know, at a world record kind of height. Then at the same time, sometimes you kind of need that rhythm and that confidence to get on, you know, the right pull, right grip, make sure everything's right for those really high bars, because, you know, at the end of the day, it's really tough when you get to those higher bars, because everything kind of has to be perfect, all the right numbers.
Africans in contention were few and far between, but those who did compete scored notable successes, and none more so than Collins Kipruto. The Kenyan was the overall World Indoor Tour winner for the 800 metres 2 years ago and showed a fine finishing kick to win at the distance from the Briton Elliot Giles. Kipruto ran a personal best, 1 minute 45.39, and is all set for the World Indoor Championships next month.
Indeed, I never expected to be to win, but I expected to run only to qualify for the Indoor Championship that will be held in Belgrade.
And that's your ambition, your run in the World Indoors in Belgrade?
Yes, this is now the journey towards my Indoor Championships to come.
And does this performance guarantee you selection for Kenya, or do you have to wait and hear from the selectors?
No, I already have. You know, I won the Indoor Tours in 2020, so I had a World Cup, and today I've proven that I should represent my country, Kenya.
And from what you've done today in Birmingham, running 145, do you think you can get a medal in Belgrade at the World Indoors?
Yeah, it's my hope and prayers to win at least a medal for my country.
African highlights also came from his fellow Kenyan Abel Kipsang, fourth in the Olympic 1500 metres last year, who ran his indoor best to win that event, as did Ethiopia's Dawit Seyoum in the women's 1500. The Olympic finalist from Rio 6 years ago, she has a good record indoors and could challenge for medals in Belgrade. The city of Birmingham will host the Commonwealth Games for a month from late July. Naturally enough, athletics fans in the city would love to see the woman who is currently the world's number one sprinter, Elaine Thompson-Hera, lining up for Jamaica then. She had a superb Olympic season last year, winning 3 golds in Tokyo. Saturday marked her indoor debut for the season, which went well enough, victory in the 60 metres. She's unlikely to run the World Indoor Championships, preferring to get sharp for the summer season.
Well, honestly, I wish we had 2 rounds to get the fire going. This is a preparation for my outdoor. I'm not fully decided if I'm going to do the indoors, but as I said, I'm using some of the preparation to, you know, do outdoors.
Someone who has been firing on all cylinders in the men's high hurdles is the world outdoor champion Grant Holloway. 2 days before, the American had run the fastest time of the season with 7.35 at Liévin in northern France. He was a touch slower after making an almost victory leap across the line, but remains on the right track.
I always expect a great indoor season just because of the time and the energy that I put in during the fall. So, you know, my main goal coming out here, I just ran in Liévin. Today is Saturday, so what, Thursday? So I ran Liévin on Thursday. I produced 7:40 and 7:35. Had a crazy travel day, but to come here and run 7:40 in front of an amazing crowd, the track felt amazing. You know, if I had more rounds in me and I had a little bit more rest, definitely think I could have done something better than that. But that track is phenomenal, so I can't wait to come back.
And just one more question. Does the World Indoors in Belgrade, are they on your schedule?
Absolutely. So right now we're just getting ready to go to USA Trials. And then at USA Trials, you know, show fitness, make the team, and then travel over to Belgrade.
Holloway's fellow American and world 200-meter champion outdoors, Noah Lyles, showed his short-distance speed to win the men's 60. There was also plenty to cheer for the home fans, as Keely Hodgkinson broke the British record indoors for the women's 800 metres with a very impressive 157.2. The American Athing Mo is currently the leader of the pack as Olympic champion in that event, but track fans can relish their continued rivalry through this year. For the Sunny Side of Sports, this is Andy Edwards in London.
Thanks, Andy. Nigerian sprinter Blessing Okagbare recently received a 10-year ban for doping violations by the Athletics Integrity Unit. The 2008 Olympic silver medalist in the long jump can appeal the decision at the Court of Arbitration for Sport, but at 33 years of age, Okagbare's athletics career is more than likely over. For reaction, Iron Mike Mbonye contacted the editor of the Lagos-based Complete Sports newspaper, Dare Esan.
I don't think anybody that I've been following Blessing Okagbare's multiple breaches of the World Athletics as a doping rule will be surprised by the verdict. Maybe the length of the verdict will be a surprise, but certainly the outcome wasn't unexpected because it's an ongoing issue. It's something that has happened in the past before. You still remember the Marion Jones case, so many, the Ben Johnson's case. So if you are found guilty of having prohibited substances in your system, you pay for it. It's a clear rule that you are responsible for whatever is found in your system. So I am not surprised, and I don't think anybody in the athletics will be surprised. Maybe the length of time, especially the second one about not cooperating with the AIU investigator into a case. I think the 5 years for that, I think, is too much. Maybe if she appeals or cast, maybe that will be reduced, but that she will be exonerated. It looks tough. It looks tight, especially with the revelation in the Eric Lira case by the USA authority. So it's going to be a bit difficult.
Do you think the ban will be the end of Blaise Nokabare's athletics career?
Certainly, yes. Especially competing on the track, yes. Even if she had been given 2 or 3 years, I think that would have been the end. So not to talk about 10 years. She's 33 now. By the time she's, that's if the appeal fails, by the time she's done with the ban, that will make her 43. I don't think we can have another Melinote on the track at 40-something. So I think that would certainly be the end of the road for her in terms of active participation in track and field as being an athlete. Although she has the chance of coming back to be an administrator or to even be a coach, it depends on her choice. Although it's going to be a bit tough for her because 10 years is a lengthy time and people will think she's not worthy of being either a coach or an administrator. You know, the question of being a role model will not come in.
Barry, you've covered several national and international athletics meets and championships. Do you think this measure or ban on Blaise Nokabare will affect the fortunes of other Nigerian track and field athletes?
And I don't think what has happened to Blaise will have any negative effect on Nigerian athletics or the Athletics Federation of Nigeria, because this is not the first time athletes will be caught for doping. Even Nigerian athletes, we've had the issue of the Choma Ajumas, the Misinezinwas, the Innocent Azonzes, the Charity Operas. I don't think it will have any effect because it has never had any effect all over the world. The Marion Jones issue didn't have any effect. The Ben Jesse issue didn't have any effect. Because, like I said, it's an individual sport, and the rules are clear. You are responsible for whatever is found in your system. Although, as Nigerians, we will feel very bad because Blessing has been the poster girl for Nigerian sport. Not just Nigerian athletes, it's Nigerian sport. She's always been there for Nigeria since that time in 2008 that she came from virtually nowhere, won a bronze medal fortuitously that was upgraded to silver because of another doping infraction by an Ukrainian. So the doping issue is not new. And since then, she's been doing very, very well for Nigeria. You still remember at Commonwealth Games, she won a double sprint medal. I mean, gold. She's the only Nigerian athlete that has won 2 medals at the same world championship. That was in Moscow in 2013 when she won silver in the long jump and bronze in the 200 meters. She's one of only 3 athletes who have won medals at both the Olympics and the world championship. You know, remember, Gloria Lozé did that in 1999 and 2000. Blessing followed suit in 2008 and 2013. And now, I think last year, yes, Ese Ogbume also did that in 2019 and 2021. So she's one of only 3. So she has, together with the rest, she has created a number of firsts. She set the Nigerian record holder in the 100 and 200 meters, the first to break 10.90, the first to break 10.80 in the 100 meters, and the first to even run very well, let me put it that way. I think the second to jump over 7 meters before Ese Ogbume became the third. So we've had Blessing that has done very, very well for Nigerian athletes. She has won some, she has lost some, she has set a number of records.
That's Dare Esson, the editor of Complete Sports Newspaper, and he spoke with Iron Mike Mbonye on the telephone from Lagos, Nigeria. And speaking of records, Stephen Curry of the Golden State Warriors set a National Basketball Association All-Star Game record Sunday with 16 three-point baskets made on his way to scoring 50 points and winning the Most Valuable Player award.
Yeah, this is definitely special. The first year, he got to honor Kobe and his life and his legacy with this trophy. Everything on this trophy means something in terms of his life and what he represented, accomplishments on the court, and to have it be an All-Star MVP trophy, and you know, for it to be the first one, it definitely makes it special. I've only won one, and to have this one, I have a special place at my house. And like you said, the 75 thing, or list, and the ceremony was very surreal for sure. Especially, I know for me and the rest of the active players that are on that list, it's obviously a dream come true, but it's something that you don't really get to appreciate until that moment at halftime. You see everybody walking out and you understand where you are in the history of the league. So it's pretty special.
That's a pretty special player. Steph Curry, the MVP of the NBA's 71st All-Star Game and one of 75 players selected for the NBA's 75th anniversary team. With the Winter Olympics now over in China, attention turns to Italy, the host of the 2026 Winter Games. VOA's Gwen Ooten tells us more. Sporty greetings, Gwen.
Sporty greetings, Sonny. The Beijing Winter Olympics have officially ended. And with the Olympic flame now extinguished, the Olympic flag has been handed over to Milan Cortina, host of the Winter Games in 2026. On Sunday, Giovanni Malago, president of the Milan Cortina Organizing Committee, expressed his confidence that Italy will deliver a memorable Winter Olympic Games despite any challenges over the next 4 years.
Of course, it's not possible to compare what we saw here in Beijing. First of all, due to the COVID. Second, because it's a city with 20 million inhabitants. And of course, the desire of the Chinese government to promote in the mountains the new winter disciplines. What will be sure our additional value is to create, or better, to recreate, not the good atmosphere, but the best atmosphere for the Winter Olympic Games.
The last two Olympics, the 2020 Summer Games in Tokyo and the 2022 Winter Games in Beijing, were faced with the constant challenge of keeping the Olympic athletes and the general public safe during the coronavirus pandemic. Milago admitted that many issues like COVID were on his mind as this year's Winter Olympics came to a close. But he says his main concern is that everything will be in place in time for the opening ceremony in February 2026.
I'm confident, but we need to be bravo because, of course, we are not in China. We are not in other countries where maybe bureaucratic problems is very easily to not to avoid but to superate. This is not the same in our country, but we know well which are our priority.
This year in Beijing, only a limited number of fans were allowed in the stands due to the pandemic, and no tickets were sold outside China's mainland. Milago hopes stadiums in Italy will return to full capacity for the Milan Cortina Games so that spectators can take part in the full Olympic experience and help ensure the upcoming games are a financial success.
I think that not only Milano Cortina, but starting from Paris, no? We don't have to have this problem because, on the other hand, first of all, the atmosphere is not impossible to recreate. And second, of course, under financial consideration, would be a very, very important problem.
And with the Beijing Olympics now a thing of the past, all eyes will soon focus on Northern Italy. The 2026 Games will mark the third time the country will host the Winter Olympics. Italy first hosted the Games in Cortina in 1956 and again in Turin in 2006. The Milan Cortina Games will be the first Winter Olympics to be co-organized by two cities and is set to begin on February 6, 2026. But first, our Olympic coverage will resume in just 2 short years when the Summer Games open in Paris, France in 2024. And that is all for me, Sonny. Back over to you.
Thanks, Gwen. That's my VOA colleague, Gwen Ooten. We'll be right back. wraps up the February 21st edition of the show. Thank you for tuning in. I'm VOA's Sonny Young in Washington.
I get it.
And that's the sunny side of sports.